having this be the first thing someone hears when they tune into this thing. That is not safe. That's a fucking trap going off in someone's face right away. Welcome, everybody. It is the Midnight Horror Show. We're here live on TMHSradio.com, on the TuneIn app at TMHS Radio, all one word, and join us over here in the chat room or the Facebook group. There's people over there, too. They hang out. They post inappropriate things, but it's okay. It's all right in the first hour. Do whatever you want, because the first hour is going to be crazy. But from what I hear from Dr. Dark, the second hour sounds like shit gets
serious. The second hour is not going to be crazy. The second hour is going to be dead fucking serious.
Oh, my God. So it's going to cut us out. So, but it's all right because I promise I promise with my hour, we're going to have fun.
What do you mean your hour? We're going to have fun in my hour too, goddammit. My hour is going to be so much fucking fun.
I'm not saying anything about the fun level of your second
hour. Looking forward to the fun because I hear that Dark wants us to build a wall and make someone else pay for it.
I think that's called
it's going to be a great wall.
I think that's called a Trump
dump. I think they already have one of those walls called a great wall.
Who has one of those?
China. China has it. China. China's. Do you know what China's doing to this country?
No. What are they
Neither
doing?
Does he. But he yelled about it a lot the other night.
Let's say, what the hell is...
They're probably building products for his companies.
I don't know. China's not doing anything wrong. What are they doing?
No, I mean, they're just taking advantage of our stupidity. I don't blame them. I mean, it's good business, as he says.
Who wouldn't take advantage of it?
All I'm going to say is the Chinese built my brand new iPhone, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, see? Eat that, Dr. Dark.
I like China.
Ooh. China. Dark, are you trying to say you stand against China?
Is that the vibe I'm getting?
I love my China.
No, I'm not trying to say I'm against China. I'm just trying to say I'm with her.
Oh, we don't need to get into this. This is not. Hey,
all right, this is a fun first hour, Danny. It's almost as if you planned this and derailed it.
Oh my God, he has. Well, you know what? He can derail all he wants. I already have a backup plan in case he does that, and I've got some.
I'm gonna derail it, and then I'm gonna rail it again, real good. If I go 0-1 and nigga, real quick.
No.
Real quick. Hot on that real shit. 0-100.
Yeah. I'm stopping. I'm not going to let you get to that part.
0-100.
That's the only way to distract him.
Play some Lionel. You know I like my Lionel.
Quit saying that. Everything you say sounds stupid. I don't know how else to explain it. It just sounds stupid.
I love
stupid.
My Lionel.
That was a pretty good impression.
Lionel, you come in here.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dr.
Lionel, bring me another beer.
Here, you're not gonna get serious on us. Don't get all political in this first hour.
Serious. Right. No, he's going seriously. I don't seriously.
He seriously is going seriously, I think.
Whoa, hold on. I'm just now reading this. Want to know what I thought of Phantasm V Ravager? Tune in to TMHSradio.com in about 45 minutes where I'll be live from Austin with a brief update. That's not going to happen. I don't really care about Phantasm V.
Oh, my God. Dr. Dark. Holy shit. You talk about really making it so no one wants to listen to your second hour.
It's too late.
He's
already told people. People are now excited.
That's fine. That's what I'm saying. There's no reason to talk about it here.
As long as it falls in the first hour, right? It's okay. I'll make room for him.
No. We're not having a shitload of fucking movie reviews of stuff no one's ever seen and probably half the world isn't ever going to see.
Come on.
No.
Everybody's going to see
Those days
it.
Are gone.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
Those God. Days are
Danny,
over.
Don't argue him just in case.
I'm just going to take
you
it.
You know how he gets? Don't make eye contact with him either.
I'm not looking at him. We're just going to listen to him and
pretend you've got something stuck under one of your nails and you're trying to dig it out. That's what I do.
I can't see them that well from here.
You can't see them from here.
Oh, shit.
You can't get your hand to your face.
Oh, shit. I didn't mean to cross the line. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cross the line. I don't know what's wrong.
I love country music.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Please sing for us. We love when you sing. Do something funny. We can't wait. Oh, it's gotten serious up in this hour. What have you done?
Seriously.
Oh, I can't believe people are still talking about Harambe.
What's wrong with Harambe? Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. That's what's wrong with him. Yes, exactly.
That
got shot like months ago. I think it's awesome that it's still so relevant, though.
Think it's awesome that he got shot or that it's relevant?
No, I don't think it's awesome that he got shot.
Remember the first time that Dark cheered a gorilla getting shot?
Oh, my Lord.
Hey, gorilla lives matter too, goddamn.
Hey, oh, shit. We keep it lowbrow in the first hour, but not that lowbrow. He's just trying to shat all over my first hour. That's what he's doing. That's what Dr. Dark's doing right now. He's trying to derail it. He's already tried to drop some certain words.
I haven't tried.
Oh, you tried.
I haven't tried.
Motherfucker, try me.
See, you're going
to
coax it.
I'm about to throw a tantrum on this beat. Now who want to play fetch?
Oh, no. I think you already threw a tantrum on this whatever you just said. What did you call it? How did you refer to it?
What?
Whatever it is, you threw a tantrum on it. You already told us that we couldn't do something. You yelled. You yelled like an angry father at us. Me and Duncan.
Just ask Sean Hannity. Ask Sean Hannity. I told him. Ask Sean Hannity.
Oh my God.
Someone call Sean Hannity.
Oh my God, dude. You need to calm down. You've gone ape shit.
That's what Trump was yelling the other night.
Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord, dude. What in the world? Where's Mark? Where is Mark at? Does anyone know where Mark's at?
He's in Austin.
No, I mean, where is he at currently?
We're not allowed to talk to him.
You can talk to him all you want. We're not going to talk about all these movies right now.
He was only going to talk about one.
You guys are such pushovers, I swear.
No, I think you wanted to call us pussies. I think that's where you're going.
No.
He was going to call me a pussy. I can't believe it. We shared a drink, Dark.
Wait, hold on. You drank that drink?
Did you drink some of my Frappuccino before I came back from the bathroom?
No, I just dipped my cock in it.
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
Is that what you mean by shared it?
No, that's true. That did happen.
Yeah, does it mean something else in America?
Dark. You're a fucking idiot. Oh, geez. All right, well, thanks for diarrheaing all over everything, Dr. Dark.
That's twice today.
Well, you know what? So you're showing off all this stuff for the second hour.
I'm trying to get the sillies out.
All right. Well, that is what you're doing, yes.
I am. I'm getting the sillies out now.
We're not doing any of that stuff for our first hour.
Why not? Are y'all going to be serious in the first hour and fuck with me during the second one?
No, we'll totally be serious. I'm just saying we're not doing all the stuff we're going to do. I mean, you're throwing a sneak peek. You want to lift up your little dress and show off your feminine leg.
I'm going to hike up my skirt and show the world to you.
We're saving... Oh, my God.
As Dave Matthews would say.
Shut up. We're saving our... we're saving all of our stuff and the Duncan Defends. We're saving all the silly stuff for next week.
That's not silly. That's quality content.
I mean, it is...
He just said you
did the Wicker Man remake. I mean, I did it with Taylor Swift.
We're not judging the quality, Dr. Dark. I mean, you know, we're just saying. You
I love you, Dark.
Hour.
Don't fire me.
He is vicious.
Vicious.
Where's Undead to bring the balance right now? He's getting a little.
He's up against the deadline.
Oh my God! All right. Well, Dr. Dark,
what is going to make his employer if he makes him change something else?
Where are we allowed to go? Where are we going to go, Dr. Dark?
What do you mean? Go wherever you want.
Where are we going to go with this? Where can we go? Where are we allowed to go with this?
You can go to hell, motherfucker.
Oh, no. Oh my God. No, just... Can you... We just want to know what direction we can go.
North. I don't know.
All right, let's head north. I know what we need to talk about. First fucking thing right now.
But
it's fucking Turbo Kid 2. The announcement of Turbo Kid 2. Come on. It's going
to
be... It's.
I didn't get to watch the...
Oh my God, the music video is amazing. It's so good. So fucking cool.
But was this the one that had the Hoff in it?
That's Kung Fury.
Oh my God. I get the two confused a lot.
Yeah, Turbo Kid was. No, this is had. It was like. It's the prequel story for Apple. It was so. Oh my God.
Daryl Graves has posted a picture of what looks like a flamboyant Starbucks drink, and the cream started coming at the top, and it looks like a cock.
Oh my
it's
God!
It's just flopped out from the top.
I don't see it. I don't see this thing. Where is it?
With foreskin as well. That's quite a bit of detail.
I can't see this thing.
Well, then that's not mine.
I see. Oh yes, I see the frothy drink, and I see Russell is posting Phantasm. You son of a bitch, Russell! Look, Russell's poking the fire. Look at this motherfucker, Russell. God damn you!
I just like this thing that Undead posted of this woman squeezing the watermelon between her thighs and busting it.
Oh, could you imagine what she'd do to you?
Oh, I wish he would. I wish he would.
I know what she did. She wouldn't be able to walk when I was done licking that puss.
Oh, Jesus. Look at that. Look how foul he's being. He's really trying to make this. He is really trying to. This has become a battle for him. This is a battle. Can you hear it raging?
Oh, that's something someone drew in the like the froth at the top.
Oh, shut the fuck up, man. We've been looking at that picture for 20 minutes now. Are you really going
to
comment on it?
I had to find it. Sorry.
I find it? There's like three posts on the fucking thing. Did you really have to?
Fuck off. I was busy watching the chick bust the melon.
Yeah, Jacob, our good buddy Jacob asks us if a Scottish ball sweat is a new holiday flavor from Coffee Mate. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And if I get my way, I will get a revenue off it. A very small revenue, because I don't think many people want to drink my sack sweat. But
well, if you could, Dr. Dark's over here salivating right now. I'm sure you can hear it on the
is
playback.
That noise is?
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm sure you can
hear
it on the playback.
Dripping.
Yeah, oh. Oh, my God.
Nutty.
He's gone far, far over. Look, he's shaking his drink and his ice. Oh. Oh, geez.
He's just like twisting the straw in his mouth.
Oh, he's shaking it. He's over here like just making. Oh my God!
Taking it like a cherry stalk, putting it in his mouth, and it's coming out with a knot in it.
he's just being a reckless son of a bitch over here.
I can't do that, and I can't unwrap a Starburst in my mouth either. But
oh, Jesus Lord, where in the hell? Oh, we were talking about Turbo Kid too. Why are you talking about unwrapping whatever you just said in your
Starburst.
Mouth. A Starburst. That sounds gross. Couldn't you have said a different candy or something?
No.
You have to say a Starburst.
Because that's the one that you're supposed to unwrap in your mouth.
Shut up. Quit saying it like that. That sounds so
unwrap a burst in your mouth.
Blah, 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 blah. God almighty. Oh, no.
Look, this is what
someone
he's
make the bad man stop, Danny.
Well, I'll tell everyone, you know, I'll play fair here. Just tune in for the second hour where Dark's going to get serious and he'll make it professional and sound good.
I'm going to get serious,
after he's, you know, dropped N-bombs and F-bombs and Q-bombs and every other motherfucking bomb he could drop on this God-blessed first hour to make sure that...
I haven't said a single one of those words.
You want to. I can
I
see
not.
It in your eyes, you know. It's
stop
going
looking
on.
In my eyes so close, you weirdo.
I can't help it. There's like burning swastikas in them. It's hard to look away. Jesus Lord, it's crazy, dude. You and the funny thing is, you're gonna tune down from this, right? You're supposedly going to be ready for your second
I'm sure
hour.
I'll come down by the second
your
hour.
Sneak peek at your second hour, and you're gonna force us all to have to be. You're gonna force all of us to actually come out of the sillies.
Yes.
And we're gonna have to talk smart. You're going to make us talk smart.
I want you to talk smart. And what I really want is some audience participation. We're going to put out a question, usually a day to a week.
Why don't you just threaten them like you threaten the hosts, and I'm sure they'll write into you.
I'm going to post naked pictures in the Facebook group if you don't send us some feedback. What we want is...
God, please.
Send in the feedback, people. Someone send please. In the feedback. He's
Jesus.
Serious.
Seriously.
On a weekly basis, we'll ask a question to try to generate.
You were going to send pictures on a weekly basis. We don't need that.
Well, it depends how much participation we get.
Like each week, it's just a shot further up from your foot. So the first shot's obviously your foot. The following week, it's a bit of calf. The week after that, it's a bit of quads and thigh.
Oh, I think all
that is Bobby.
I think all of those blend together in one big mush. I don't
know. No, they don't. I've got some definition, yo.
Oh,
and I'm starting at the knee because I want feedback quickly.
Oh, God.
There's a new TV show in the UK. The guy at work that I work with, I told me about it because it was like doing the rims in terms of like just people chatting about it, social media, etc. And it's a dating show. And I thought I'd seen everything because, like, in the last week, there'd been that video going around that dating show in America where basically they have to kiss for the first time. Or it was a guy who was kissing for the first time. It was the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It's horrible. Did you see this?
I did not.
I'm going to send it to you. It's fucking cringeworthy, honestly. Your skin will crawl. But basically, I thought, like everything that's been happening recently, I'm like, that America's really scraping the bottom of the barrel to get TV in. Then I find out that there's a show in the UK, and this is no joke. They bring someone in, and there are six pods in front of them. And in those pods are six naked people of the opposite sex. And what they do is they lift the pod up to just above their waist. So if it's a woman, for example, she's facing six penises, and then she eliminates one of the guys, and then it moves up a bit further, and then she eliminates one of the guys, and then eventually moves up so the guy can talk to her, and she eliminates one, and then that person then goes and gets naked, and then the two of them are naked. Sorry, three people are naked, and she eliminates someone else, and then they go off on a date. And what? this is on fucking TV.
What in the fuck, dude?
Is it called Pick a Dick?
Well, it could be the reversal. You could be watching, like, six vaginas in front of you. If it's a guy there.
Pick a puss?
I shit you not. I'm going to post some things on the page. I'm going to find this one with this guy kissing, which was awful. And you got to watch it because it's fucking hilarious. And then I'm going to post the name of this show and hopefully get a trailer. You need to see it. It's fucking... What happened to people just, like, going to a bar and chatting with someone? And I love, the best thing about it is the reason they do the whole naked show is because it strips them of their inhibitions and it gets to the heart of things and people can be honest and all the rest. So in the first episode, this woman walks out, like, fucking the six pods go up and there's six dicks in front of her. And she's looking at all of them and she sends one of them back and she says that the reason she sent it back is she didn't like his stance. When he had a tiny cock, right? That's why he got sent back. Micro dick, right? So micro dick gets sent away.
He need to fluff that money, yo.
Like she's fucking got rid of him. And then she goes into the next round, and the guy who was, he was overweight. He was quite a bit overweight. He gets sent away because he is also has the wrong stance. And I'm like, so you got rid of pickle dick, and then fatty has to go. And then, obviously, she ends up with the attractive one at the end, who's hung like a fucking moose. And I'm like, they may as well just do that. You know what I mean? They'll just... I don't get it. Anyway, sorry.
Dark wants to see it, though.
I want to see it.
I want to see it. I
want to see the moose cock.
Girl Graves. She's going... She's yelling about Hitler and something.
What is she yelling Clowns about? And Hitler and bitches? I don't know.
No, Girl Graves says she has more fucked up porn to put in the group than Dark. I cannot believe that that's possible. I really don't know if that's possible. I don't think anyone that listens to the show would ever want to see Dr. Dark post naked pictures.
No, don't even joke about it. We don't want to see it.
I mean...
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, we're not commenting on you as a person. I don't want them to think that. Just that... we're not saying that you're like some Jabba the Hutt motherfucker or anything like that. We're just saying because of the things that you've told us, that what you've done with the parts that are hidden by clothes, no one wants to see it because we know what you've done with those things. You've put them in stuffed animals and hammocks and drink cups and, you know, shirt pockets or whatever. You've told us 100 different nasty places you've put it. You could write a book called 101 Nasty Places I've Put My Jizz.
101 Places I've Put My Wiener that you might have touched.
Oh, that's...
No, I mean you specifically.
Actually, I did... Dark has secretly been going under the radar, you know, because he's just tired with what we do here and how silly we can be. And, he's trying to branch away from us, clearly. So I was perusing around, and I had to go break into his email because we needed the password. I need the password to reset. I was trying to fix the webpage.
Yeah.
So I had to reset that. So I go into his email, and Dr. Dark's got this.
I know there's nothing for you to tell because I send all that to a fake email address that you don't even know.
No, this one was this one had to be because it was payment to you, so they used your real name. You know, so there are people out there that know who the real Dr. Dark is because this production company that put this film out for you, they know your name because all the information was addressed to you, your actual name. And Dr. Dark has actually gone off and made a gay porn film under the radar, and he's released
this
bitch.
That's what it's called.
That's
the name of it, Under the Radar.
It's actually called Dark Knight of the Dildo. And I've got a screenshot of the cover. I'll send it to the group. I've got a screenshot of the cover for everybody to see. I'm going to post it over there. But yeah, so Dr. Dark, you know, thanks for being a cock. You just like kind of branch away from us, go make some money on the side. What the fuck is up with that shit, dude?
I be balling, yo.
Yeah, you're balling. That's the truth.
He be balling, yo.
He's balling, all right.
I be balling.
Going on, let me post it over here. Here we go.
I be pegging.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, he's released it in like 500 different formats. Like, I don't know. He went all out for this.
There's not that many different formats.
Oh, shit, yeah. Shit, yeah, it is. It looks like a ton of formats. It's over there somewhere. I don't know where it is. I think I just posted it in the group. I don't think I posted it in the event. Even though I yell at everyone to do it in the event, I didn't do it.
It's not really about the show.
Who's Dick the Binger that's catching a live show, finally home
probably
to catch one?
Jay the C.
Jay the C.
I've just posted the awkward Jeff. Kissing video in the fucking group page, not in the event page. Sorry, Danny. And I'm about to find this naked video as well, which is cringeworthy, honestly. Watch the kissing one, though. This guy is fucking awful. He gives me the fucking creeps. And it's the best video ever. You're going to laugh. You're going to shit yourself. Watch it.
All right, where's this? Where the hell? Where's this goddamn video? Where did you put this motherfucker? Oh, there it is. I found it. There it is. Here we go.
Can I kiss you?
Sure.
What the fuck is... Where's he going?
You can hardly tell he's new to kissing. Josh returned to love at first kiss, and while he's now officially kissed two girls...
He isn't
what you call an expert. So the show brought in expert kisser Erica Rose from the Bachelor franchise to give him a couple of pointers.
What is wrong with this
like,
weird?
Kind of like this.
Uh-huh.
Like this.
Yeah, and then what?
And then.
So you just like open your mouth and like didn't do anything about it.
Exactly.
That's weird. That's how like you kiss like your grandmother. Josh took everything that he learned.
Oh, I would. If you're gonna hold on time, now.
Hold on. Did she say you open your mouth and kiss your grandmother?
I would never. I'm not kissing.
No, she says you need to open your mouth. It's weird that he kisses like that. That's the sort of way you would kiss your grandmother.
I don't think I kiss my grandmother on the lips. I don't know if I.
Yeah, I don't think I've kissed any family members on the lips in quite some
time.
Use
too much, but put it in and then take it out, and kind of a cat and mouse game. That's kind of what I deciphered from this.
And applied it when he met the lovely Roxanne.
Can I kiss you?
He probably disgusted her.
Oh, she's... Oh, my... Is he... Oh, my God, he's putting alien eggs down her throat.
The kiss was so nice, they had to do it twice.
She looks disgusted.
What is wrong
she's
with her?
Gag.
Of course she's disgusted, wouldn't you be?
What are they doing?
Look at her. She's going to throw up.
Oh, I can't. Oh, my God. I can't handle
this. And even though it took Josh 27 years to experience his first kiss, it didn't take him very long to fall in love.
Yeah. That's awesome. Maybe she'll be my girlfriend. You never know.
Oh, my God,
I feel
dude.
On cloud nine right now. I feel ecstatic. Unbelievable. This is one of the best days of my life to have that magical kiss finally come true.
Well, it's not like a normal kiss. This is like mouth fucking. I mean, this guy is doing something.
He had to change his pants before they could film that after segment there, because I'm sure he unloaded.
Oh my God, I don't know.
That's weird. I thought that was going to be one of those things where they like bring in the gay guys who've never kissed a girl or something or touched a vagina and make
those
them experience.
Doing around for a week
yeah.
Right, I've also, this one's a much shorter clip, but in the actual event page, there is the Channel 4 show, which is called Naked Attraction.
And all right, hold on. We got to do Smoke's 2 cents because, you know, he can't ever be on the show.
Smoke's comment is amazing.
He says, I like that Japanese show where a guy has to stick his dick in a hole and bang one of four chicks. And his mom is one on the other side.
I bet you do like that show.
Oh, Jesus Lord. That is, that's no. I don't know if that does not seem
horrible.
Okay. Smoke, it's all right. You keep on working.
You need to stick a finger in each one and see which one's the driest.
Assume that's
the older lady.
Here it is. What is this, Naked Attraction?
Yeah, Naked Attraction's the name of the show.
All right. Let's see here. Let's get on Naked Attraction right again.
Here's my ass.
Oh.
Well, I've been told it's quite juicy.
Ew.
You get your 5 a day from it, basically.
Five what?
You're 5 a day.
It is juicy.
5 what?
Do you not have that in America?
Like 5 servings of fruits and vegetables?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't ever have 5, but... They recommend
it. That's basically, like, see what you're seeing there? That's the show. And she just stares at, like, naked guys.
Oh, my God. What the...
How long do you think it'll be before it's on American TV?
It never will be. Because they won't allow that.
Yeah, I don't... you know...
We're very, very prudish about, like, real nudity and sex in America on TV.
Yeah, like 90% of the world's porn is American.
But none of it would be on, like, mainstream television.
Yeah, but this isn't porn. This is just naked people.
That's what I'm saying. We're still very...
That's like porn here in America.
Yeah, we're still very prudish about, like, frontal nudity and things like that. We've got serious sex hang-ups in America. We want to do the nastiest stuff in the world, but we want to pretend like we are absolute Puritans. It's that Puritan guilt.
There's like a million and one, like, what, warnings that come up for all of our shows already.
Yeah, TV, LSV, blah, 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 blah,
with
blah,
just
blah.
The very little brief nudity we have in TV shows, they're like, oh, my fucking God. It's really bad.
I mean, go to any IMDb thing for a movie and look at the parental warnings, and they have it broken down for, like, sex, drugs, blah, 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 violence. And
Russell, Pornkins is awesome. The pumpkin carving kit for porn scenes. That's
great. Amazing.
That is amazing.
That is awesome.
That is really cool. Somebody's got to find those for real. Where the fuck are those? Somebody find those things. Those are fucking cool as shit. I like it. I like that a lot. Those are cool. So was it November is when that new PlayStation VR is coming out?
Yes, I believe so. End of October, beginning of November, I think.
Okay, did you guys see that they have like a fucking horror game that is going to come at launch? It's going to be a launch title.
No.
It looks terrifying as shit. It's called, Here They Lie. Go watch the trailer for it. It looks really fucking creepy. And if anyone, has anyone gone tried the real cheapo, like Google Cardboard shit that I keep preaching for you all to try, that VR?
No.
You guys have got to try it. It will scare you again. Things will finally scare you again. It does like what Outlast did. At first.
Oh, I was terrified the fuck out of me.
It was horrible. Well, you just, oh my God. I gotta remember which one that was, but there's one where you're sitting on the couch, and that shit is fucking terrifying. This VR shit is gonna be great. It is a great, great medium for horror. I swear to God. It just puts you right in it, and it's gonna make things scary again. I mean, like, if you look, most people are using that thing now. At least the 3D picture shit, you know, where you do the entire, like, 360 fucking 5-degree angle fucking...
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of the shows nowadays, as they're, you know, advertising on Facebook, they've got the, you know, the where you can interactive click picture and go through it. I think even Hellevator has one. I think that's the one I've just now seen. Have you guys watched Hellevator at all? The Soska Sisters show?
Oh, yeah.
It's not made its way over here yet.
Okay, it's on... I think it's on Netflix here in America. But,
America!
The only thing that sucks about the show is that you're rooting for these too many people.
They win too much.
They win too much. You are rooting for these people
not
to get out of here.
And the people who don't are absolute morons.
Yeah, it's great when they don't. But I hear this season they've teamed up with what? Blumhouse? To do some of the work for them?
I don't
like,
know.
What's his name? Is it Jason Blum? Is that the guy?
Yeah, Jason Blum, isn't it?
Blum, yeah.
Like a Blumpkin.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, don't say that. he's, I swear he did some work for him with this, too. But when you get later in the seasons, it gets a lot creepier, but it's a really cool fucking idea. So if you haven't watched it, check it out on Netflix. And Duncan, we'll find a way to, we'll show you where you can find
it. Life finds a way.
Yes, we will show you where you can find that. But yeah, so Here They Lie, it'll be coming out. I guess November is when the VR drops. I don't know. I don't have a PlayStation. I went Xbox One.
PlayStation.
So I'm going to have to do something about that.
Have you seen those VR sex suits where you put on the...
How did I know you were going to take it this way? How did I know you were going to take it this way?
Where you put on the goggles and you put on the whole suit that has like a thing that you stick your thing in and it... It simulates like a whole...
After everything you've said, you can't just say your penis, your cock, something. You have to say, put your thing in, your thing. I mean, just say something.
The thing.
No, don't say... Oh, my God. It's funny how proper you get sometimes after what you've said already. It makes no sense.
It's because I feel intimidated by that. I would never put on like...
What?
I would never... No. Fucking a blow-up doll is one thing, but I would never put on, like, a mechanical suit that could squeeze my wiener.
Quit. Why are you referring it in all these Sesame Street terms?
Earlier on, you wanted to wreck a woman that's fucking crushed a watermelon between her thighs.
With my tongue, not with my pee-pee.
Wiener, pee-pee.
That is honestly, like, the worst I'm
just doing it to annoy you now.
But, I kind of feel like I want to go for a shower now.
I know. I just don't know why he's saying stuff like this. It's ruining it for me. He's just saying the grossest
what
stuff.
What do you mean
right
it's
now.
Ruining it? Were you like starting to get a little chub and now it's gone?
No, my God. Dude, you're just.
What?
You're just
I'm what?
You're just a motherfucker, is what you are.
Am I? Am I really?
Are you? Fuck yeah, you are. You son of a bitch. Fuck yes, you are. Oh, my God. All right, Dr. Dark.
What?
Can we do anything else now?
You can do whatever you want to do.
He's like, do whatever you want.
I'm going to go take a piss here in a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right, we can sneak Mark in when he's away.
Let's do it real quick. But then Mark's going to be like, how it'll go down is like, Mark will be like, all right, guys. So here comes the review for Phantasm. It was, and then Dark's going to bust in the room because Mark's going to take for goddamn ever to get started on it, and we're not going to hear it.
He does take a bit of time to get things started.
And we're not going to hear it because Dark's going to come racing.
Because Dark's going to be like, what the fuck?
I don't have to pee that bad.
So he's going to stick around? He's not going to leave?
I'm just saying it won't take me that long to go pee. It's right across the hall. Take me like 30 seconds to pee, and I'll be back. I mean...
Well, we're not codependent or anything. Don't act like that. Don't act like you're comforting us, motherfucker. We're fine with the shit. You make it sound like we're going to be scared that you're out of the room for 30 seconds. You're like, don't worry, babies. I'll be back in 30 seconds. It's right across the hall.
What does this mean, Danny sitting there?
Daddy's going Daddy's just going to be right across the hall. Everything will be all right.
Oh, God. Duncan, I don't know about you, but I have never felt so uncomfortable in all my life.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking bad, I'll be honest with you. And I was on the show that Dot dropped like 10 N-bombs back to back.
Oh, my God. That was... You noticed...
I don't even want to think of a scenario where Dot is referred to as daddy.
I do have children.
Don't say that now after what you just did.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to think about your real kids as you're talking about trying to fuck your fake kids, you fucking weirdo.
What?
You were saying to us, don't worry, kids. Daddy's right across the hall. And when you say it like that, you know what we're thinking that you're saying it
You automatically think, he wants to fuck us.
What? From everything,
The tone you put on, I would hope that's not how you speak to your kids.
Yeah, I hope you never talk.
It wasn't
like
a calm, soothing voice. It was a sexual predator's voice, the sort of voice I used to hear on that show to catch a predator. I actually feel like Chris Hansen's about to come in and tell you to take a seat.
I'm already sitting, bitch. So, saying that to you.
Now he's saying it to the other guy that was here. That made that comment.
Yeah, when Chris Hansen walked in. Hey, Chris. What's up?
Oh, I got you.
So, what the fuck was it? No, normally what I would be like is, I'm just going to be gone for 2 fucking seconds. Don't tear anything up. Don't make a mess. Just sit there and don't antagonize each other. For God's sake, I'll be right back.
So basically, you're telling us.
That's how you would say.
Yeah, so basically, you talk better to us just now than you do your own kids. Is that the example you're trying to put out there?
I'm just kidding.
Like, yeah, right, dude. That doesn't work, man. People don't say something. And then, go, no, I'm just kidding. Everyone knows they really meant it the first time. They're just worried now by the reaction they got.
No, yeah. I'm not. I was kidding.
Oh, of course.
I don't normally feel the need to announce that I'm about to walk into the next room. It's not that big of a deal.
No, we were talking about how you would talk to your kids.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I was kidding because I wouldn't say anything. I would just go do what I need to do.
What did we see? Look at your nails.
I'm not looking at him. I'm not looking at him. My eyes are closed. Ow!
Damn it.
Oh, my God. He fucking hit me now. I don't know what to do. This is so out of script. This never happens. I don't know how we handle this kind of situation. I don't know if this has ever happened. We've got to hold on. Technical difficulties. We'll be right back.
We put up the test strip.
All right, we got it.
What? The test strip.
Oh, yeah, we got it together. Yeah, that is true. And Girl Graves posted, I'm not always on To Catch a Predator, but when I am, I bring Mike's Hard Lemonade. Dr. Dark used to live off Mike's Hard Lemonade. Loved it. Loved it. That and Zimas and Jolly Ranchers.
Dude, I never once drank a Zima. Thank you very much.
What does a Zima taste like? I don't know. I was never old enough.
I've never had one. Ask Smoke. He's old enough, and I'm sure he drank some.
Is Smoke really that much older than us?
Yes, dude.
Okay, is he like
I thought it was, and then one day I said on the show that he was either older than me, or he'd had a really hard paper round.
Oh my god!
You guys shot me down and said no, he's younger, and I was no, he's definitely older.
I thought he was younger than us.
I thought he was younger than us. No, he's not.
He just fakes that on the internet. So that he has a more mass appeal with, you know, poontang. But
see, Jacob Kane, he writes, that's right, little one, call me daddy. You know, that doesn't, you know, okay, that doesn't seem as nasty sexual right now. But if Dark were to say that exact same thing.
Do you want me to try?
Yeah, let's see it. Let's hear it.
Why, Danny?
Let's hear it.
That's right, little one, call me daddy.
Oh, no, good.
Fuck, honestly, my ears are like.
And then Girl Graves has a picture of a pumpkin patch. That's what would happen if Dr. Dark had been born out of Ann Getty's vagina. This is the kind of pictures he would have grown up to take of little kids' bottoms painted as like fucking.
Dude, those are some fat bottoms. Those aren't little kids.
I'm not. I hope those aren't actual little kids. Oh my god.
I don't think they're peaceful at all. I think they are actual pumpkins, but
that's fine, dude. You're missing the joke of it though. It's not supposed to be taken seriously.
This picture's not actual pumpkins though.
Yeah, they are.
What, the Girl Graves one?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
That looks like a straight fucking, no.
That one in the middle. Badge and asshole.
Yeah.
That one in the middle's had some major action.
Well, if it's a pumpkin, then... Richard, that's kind of what Dr. Dark looks like. You've got to give it to Major Action, though.
He worked really hard serving your country to get to that position.
What?
Fuck.
Huh?
I'm not explaining that joke.
Everything is kind of going over his head right now.
I'm so nervous about the next segment coming up the next hour.
Oh, look, Steven posted some more chicks breaking watermelons.
Bust that melon, bitch.
Why do you...
Don't go breaking watermelons.
I can't believe you'd lead him there, Duncan. Are you kidding me?
Stick to the bananas and the grapes that you're used to.
You're a bad man. You're a bad fucking man, Dr.
I hate him so much.
Hang your head in shame in the toilet.
Oh, no, no. I didn't even mean it like that.
Y'all expect the worst of me. We didn't. Oh, you're such a... See how he sets us up?
Hey, where's the TLC sound? That was a perfect opportunity for you to redeem
me. Oh, Russell, see, I didn't even see that. VR. He says VR comes out in October for PS4. Son of a bitch.
That's like...
VR versions of Until Dawn and the new Resident... Oh, the new
Saturday
Resident Evil.
Saturday is October, motherfucker.
There's a VR version of Until Dawn.
Who's breathing?
That's what he says. That's what Russell C says. VR version of Until Dawn and the new Resident Evil. Have you guys watched the trailer for the new Resident Evil?
It looks pretty good.
It does look pretty good. And I don't know if anyone else has watched this, and I hope people don't freak out, but I watched The Exorcist Friday night, and I was okay with that shit, man. I'm going to watch it again this Friday.
You're the third person that I've heard say it is not the heaving pile of shit that we expected.
It's really not. They throw a lot of props the way of the original, and it's I think I like the way it's going with the little twist right at the end of the episode. I'm like, okay, I can do this shit.
A little bit questionable. Gina Davis, now, would you still do her?
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah, she's totally fine. And but the best character, and you've only seen him like twice, is Cameron from Ferris Bueller.
He's a fucking weirdo, dude.
He's a fucking weirdo. Actually, the priest is really fucking cool. The priest has a really cool fucking moment at the dinner table. Yeah, he's just a cool guy. You just like the priest. I really did not mind it at all. I enjoyed it. I think I'm just in the mood for all these good TV shows, and they're all playing off really well right now. See, Bo says yes to Alan Ruck. There you go.
What?
See, Dark. See, you never pay attention.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't even pay attention.
I don't know what Alan Ruck is.
He's a, Alan, fuck you in your face is what it is. Right? fuck off.
I don't
dude.
Know what that is.
You're killing my vibe with these good TV shows. I was talking about that, and you know, we just had Scream Queens last night, and we've got American.
I still see it. So don't mention it. I
didn't see it yet.
I'm not saying a word about it. I'm not saying a word about it. We got American.
Undead
Horror Story
said something about PCs, and yeah, I about shot my load.
They were watching it on there or something. I don't know.
Oh, I love PCs.
Yeah, PCs is great.
Oh, so much. We need to do another commentary for it.
We really do. We really do because the other one never got uploaded, and I think now we have better ways
yeah,
of doing
this,
right?
Yeah, plus I had like a break every other minute.
Yeah,
did
we
I,
have a, we
did
have a
I just
way.
Get shot? What we happened? Did. Was we there did. A gun?
Was that dun, pieces?
Dun. Now, what was that?
He's like,
that was the Giallo episode.
Oh, yeah, that was the Giallo
episode. Well, technically, I would argue PCs is part of
yeah,
Giallo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Glove killer, you know, police procedural, someone gets roped into it. Yeah. Could
say
it as a joke.
Yeah, I think it was. That's cool.
Purists would say it isn't. But
well, there's no purists here. We love everything.
Yeah, I think you covered that last week.
Fucking love
there's
everything.
There's no purists here. No snobbery here.
Yeah, we'd love everything. I'll fucking watch anything. I don't give a shit. I haven't watched old Shyamalama Ding Dong's new movie. I don't give a fuck, dude. I don't care.
It's got James McAvoy in it. So
I'm going to watch everything.
Principle. I support everything from my country.
Yes. I'm going to watch everything, and I can't wait. I really can't wait for Turbo Kid.
Who's
too.
Got the hooch?
I really hope they dig Apple up. That's all I really need. They just have to dig Apple up. That chick
yeah,
has
they need
got
to bring
be
her back. See if she's not in it. I don't want to watch it.
No, I really don't.
I will still watch it though, and I'll still really yeah. like it. But I'm not be happy. About
yeah, I will be way happier if she's back in it. You can dig her up. She's a robot. Just dig her up. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be fucking cool. I'm excited for it. Ruck is a it's kind of magical retard
stick!
In that show. It's such a, yeah. See, so Bo is watching
Rucka,
The Exorcist.
Rucka, Ali.
Not Rucka,
what did
Rucka
Bo
Ali.
Think about it?
I don't know. I don't know what Bo. What, Bo, what
Bo,
did you think?
Tell
of
us
it?
What you
tell
thought,
us what
of,
you
the
thought
TV
of the
show.
Exorcist.
Wait, he's typing. Hold on, because we
typing. Need. He also has a soft spot for Geena Davis or a hard spot.
Geena Davis is she's really hot in this, and it's in the way it's playing out. It's really fucking
it's
cool.
It's Cutthroat
I think.
Island for me when she's like that pirate. And then also, was it The Long Kiss Goodnight? Where she's
the
got
Long
like
Kiss
Goodnight.
Bob.
Oh, my God.
That's it, I Love Her in, what's the one
Would
with...
Car.
What's the softball movie? The baseball movie? A League of Their Own.
Oh, there's yeah. no crying in baseball.
Oh, that movie's fucking great. I don't give a shit.
Really
the movie's amazing. I love that movie.
And Madonna.
No, not Madonna.
Yeah, Madonna was in, but so was fucking Rosie. I'm not... Who cares about them?
Yeah.
Rosie said some pretty not nice things to me. She deserved me to call her a pig.
Oh, Jesus. Why do you keep doing this?
To try to point out how absurd it is.
Look, Bo says, I think it's a solid start and does capture some of the tone of the film. There are some problems, but Geena Davis is solid, and I like where it's headed. I would totally agree. And there are some problems. There's a little bit of wonkiness a couple times. I was kind of like, eh. But... It is really neat. And by the end of it, like anyone that doesn't like, you know, when the music kicks in and it really reflects back to the film, when, you know, both the, well, I don't want to spoil.
Don't
that,
spoil
but,
it.
I'm not
going
to say anything. But where it's going, if you can't just get like a little bit of like fan, you know, goosebumps from it, then you're just a dick. You're just a dick because it's so fucking cool, man. I don't know, fucking get it.
You're a dick.
I thought it was really good.
House.
And you know what? I'm really mad at Mark. I am absolutely mad at Mark that he's at Fantastic Fest and he did not watch The Girl with All the Gifts. I'm going to fucking kill him. Like this one, I'm dying to see more than anything I can think of at all, ever. Like I'm dying
to see. Well, a guy from my work went to see it over the weekend. So it must be out here. I don't know where he saw it, but he saw it. And he spoke to me a bit because I'm the horror guy. he doesn't usually watch him, and he said it was a really good movie. So.
Yeah, it's got to be, because, I mean, Mike Carey wrote the script, the guy that wrote the book, mm-hmm. and the book is just, I mean, I'm telling you guys got to go listen to this book. Don't read it. Just go get the Audible version, because the chick that narrates is amazing, and it just fits so well. You go check it out. Go check out the story.
It's Sam
so
Jackson cool. was on Jimmy Fallon the other night to talk about Miss Peregrine.
Oh, you know what? Miss Peregrine's a young adult novel. It's very, you know, blah, blah, comes off real basic, but it's such a good story.
It was
really
so funny.
I'm supposed to be going to see it on Friday, so.
Sam Jackson.
Which one are you going to go see?
Peregrine.
Oh, you know, I really like those stories. Those were really good books. They're real fast. Because
it's my birthday on Friday.
That's right. That's
it's
right,
Friday. Gotta get down because it's birthday.
Oh.
It's like the remix version of the Dr. Dark.
Are you gonna do a new? Are you gonna do a birthday rap for Duncan?
It was his first birthday, wasn't it?
I know, but are you, I'm asking you, this year, are you going to do a birthday rap for him? I'm
By the way, the secret project I'm working on in terms of host Cinders, Danny,
is
actually coming along quite well. They will be ready for next week.
Oh, that's awesome. I got a new game. I got a new game we're going to play.
I bet you do.
Instead of Horror's Biggest Badass. I was inspired by this little demo game I played on the Xbox One. I was like, this is the most amazing fucking thing I've ever played, and now we're going to do it on the show with dice, because we haven't played a dice game on here in a long time. And those are so much fun to
play. We got
to
roll the bones, motherfucker.
I like rolling the bones. I like rolling the bones. See, a lot of people are liking this DVD. You might go up in sales, Dr. Dark. And for those that don't know, it's Dark Knight of the Dildo. It was filmed in Dolby Digital.
Digital Dildos. It's been released. Dr. Dark's.
Dr. Dark's. What? Yeah, don't.
Dumper.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's released in Blu-ray 3D, Betamax, Laserdisc, and VHS. It's. If the cover says anything about its quality, it's probably jizztastic. It's going to be amazing. So, yeah. Go.
Aren't those wires that are stuck into the dong up a little far? Or is that just like a curly Q in the wire?
Well, actually, you told us that you like it that high because you like a little bit of
a little
electricity,
electrical shock.
A little electrical shock on your taint. It's like a frog leg. It causes you to like spasm out. You're like, and you're like, squeeze it up.
I'm just imagining Dark's legs moving like frogs.
Now I see him dancing
you see
like
him
with
like
frog
dancing
legs.
Up and down. I'm sitting here just, my legs are hopping up and down.
You're like a Kermit the Frog. What the fuck? It's fucking weird, dude.
It was funny the other night when Samuel L. Jackson was on Fallon, and he was talking about how when you do a scene like spot on, how Tim Burton comes like clapping from around the camera like all silly, like, that was perfect.
And he's
like, everybody thinks that, you know, he's this like eclectic British guy, but he's totally American.
What?
What's wrong? It was a good interview.
Was it?
And then they played a game, one of Fallon's dumb games, and really? Samuel L. Jackson ended up like getting a kitten and having to hold it for the rest of the game.
Oh, what else happened on that show that you watched? What commercials came on? why don't you tell us the whole goddamn story? Hey, it's only payback. He was yelling at us earlier. Don't forget this.
He was yelling at us earlier on.
No, yeah, he was. Oh my god.
I can take it, motherfucker.
Oh my god, poor undead. He just posted this horrible picture of this squirrel's balls caught in some like plant hanger outside. What is that? Oh my god.
It's like a bird feeder hanger. He's trying to get the bird feeder, yo. See the bird feeder right there?
God, oh, his balls. His balls. Mike Dotson, you did not.
I posted that saying this has been
his
day
today. Thank you, Steven. Thank you for telling him. Thank you for telling Mike it is on. It's on right now, buddy.
My favorite pickup line involves a squirrel. It's like, baby, if we were squirrels, could I bust a nut in your hole?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. That's a dumb one, dude. You like the stupidest ones.
That's probably why I don't get any pussy.
Our buddy Lisa has also seen The Exorcist, and she said that it was good, and she's looking forward to the next one as well, Danny.
Boom! All right, everybody, hands up. Bo, Lisa, hands up. Let's pound them.
Our friend who is out in the field at the moment only has 10 minutes left before he has to go.
Time is ticking.
He just said he was out. What the fuck?
Time is ticking.
A little while ago.
No, that was
I've got to leave in about 10 minutes, guys.
I thought he said he was
our friend who's in Austin.
I know, I'm saying.
No, that was Undead.
Out.
Undead said
no,
he was
that was
out.
Undead that
oh,
said
I
that.
Can't see the icons very well from here. I thought he said he was out a long time ago. That's why I just kept the shtick going of, you know.
No, he's been waiting to come in.
Are we gonna let him unveil it? Are we going to let him unveil it in the last 10 minutes of the first hour?
Get him in here. Come on, get him in.
No, here's how it's going to go.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. All
so
right.
We can allow 2 minutes for that, and then I want to hear his answer to the question that we posed about what drew you to horror or what draws you to it.
All right, well, that's a fair comment. I think that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
But I'm going to
tell him that when you bring him in and
yeah,
so he,
I'm sure he's just heard it.
I don't think he's
listening. Why would he be listening? If he would have been listening, he would not even be trying to come back on here after you were like, fuck him. I'm not fucking putting him on the goddamn show.
Fuck him.
I'm exaggerating. All right.
Don't call him like that. Go add to the call.
Dude,
why do I have to tell you this every goddamn week?
Now everyone understands why people reported him as a boss.
No one reported
HR.
Me.
Yeah, you did. You actually got reported.
One person did report me to, not to HR, two just
people,
to my boss.
Two people.
Just one.
Two people.
It was just one.
No, it was two.
That wasn't.
I promise you, it was two.
It was not.
Yep.
Was Danny the other one?
Danny was the other motherfucker.
You never worked for me.
No, I never did. It's true. But I told somebody.
Until we started doing this show.
Yeah, now we all feel like we work for you. Yep, see? Pound it. Thank you. All right, awesome. See, everybody's ready for
Pound.
Oh, and you know what? I had a hip-hop halftime lined up. And then Duncan's first picture he sent inspired me. So I went out and I did a halftime of some Mos Def and Talib Kweli and Black Star. I did Definition.
Oh, yeah.
I did Definition and Redefinition because it goes so well because you know it's the song and then it slows
it's
down
the
to
remix
a different song.
To Definition.
Well, it's not really a remix. It just slows down with the same beat and the same hook and then
that was Remix to Ignition.
But I was bouncing around my work all day today listening to Do It Now with Mos Def and Busta.
I'm bouncing off the walls again. Whoa.
Mos Def is just, Steven.
What the fuck Steven, is that?
Oh, Jesus Christ. If we were still giving things away for the most fucked up pictures on here or giving
what Steven posted.
It is a watermelon woman with it's blue. Oh my Jesus fucking
it's
Christ.
Having a watermelon seed period apparently.
Oh dude, it is probably that's going to haunt my nightmares forever. That is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I like
seen.
It.
It's, I know you do.
It makes me kind of have a
it's great cuz it's fucking me
I
up.
I kind
bad,
of have like a taste for some watermelon
Jesus
right now.
Jesus fucking Christ. Russell C., he posts Dr. Dark in his little unicorn dildo. It's fucking weird. Dark, I know you
that
said you
like
had...
That thing that they had on American Horror Story last year, the screw thing.
The screw penis?
The screw penis.
I don't know. All right.
The man in the rubber suit wore.
Did Mark get in here?
Hello.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God,
Mark.
That sounds like shit.
Loud as fuck.
Have fun answering.
Sorry, I'm on my phone. I do not have my laptop.
No, you're fine now.
That's
you're
fine
actually
now.
Fine now. Yeah.
Before you sounded like my DJ gig.
What's going on, man?
Not much. Took a block off to not stare at a fucking screen for about 2 hours and to come chat with you fellas.
Hey, I'm mad. I'm mad at you for not going to see the girl with all the gifts. Why didn't you go see the girl with all the gifts?
It's still probably playing either today or tomorrow.
Mark, please go see it.
I'm sure it was a thing where there's something else that I really wanted to see that was playing in the same block. I've had to make some really difficult choices. I didn't get to see The Void and probably won't get to, which is the one movie I was really, really excited about. Oh, and The RZA canceled. So,
Mark, you're about to make a really difficult choice because you're going to see The Girl with All the Gifts. God damn it. You are going to see this movie. You will thank me.
It was a theatrical release. A lot of the time I went with stuff that I was fairly certain might take a really long time to come out or won't ever come out. So
that's a kind of valid thing there because, like I say, it is in the cinema over here, so it can't be that far away from being on
no, TV. It's coming out here anytime,
yeah, I'm sure
too.
It's,
yeah,
I'm sure it's on one of his illegal sites if it's already out in cinema somewhere.
God. Yeah, so why did you say it that way? Don't
what,
say it like that.
What?
All right, so he's got to put you on the spot here, Mark.
All right.
Who?
Me, so
the new commander in chief.
I've always been commander in chief.
Yeah, he who must really be obeyed under pain of being sent.
Yeah,
to me.
Mark. The way it's going now is the first hour is sillies, and the second hour is all business. So you're lucky. You're leaving.
It's party on the first hour, business in the second.
Yeah, it's super
it's the,
business.
It's the mullet show.
He's making it serious, dude.
The mullet horror show.
It's party up front, business in the back.
Right. I know. I had one.
He
trust
takes,
me.
He takes business in the back all the time.
Sometimes that's
question
the, sometimes
you.
That's
he's,
the party.
He's been putting this question out to everyone, and he's wanting answers right. back. So he's going to ask you questions, so you have to get the answer.
Yeah, so you said you have 10 minutes, so which is probably cut in half by now. So you may spend 2 minutes discussing Phantasm or other movies of your choosing, and the remainder telling what drew you to horror. And what keeps you, like, sticking with it? Because that's what's going to be our discussion in the second hour.
You know how you answer that second question, Mark? By listing off all the horror movies that you've seen that you really liked.
These movies have led me down the path that I'm currently on today. The Bad Batch, Raw. Those are two of the best horror movies of the fucking year, by the way. You've got to see fucking Raw. Phantasm 5 is fucking great if you're a huge Phantasm fan.
It was obviously made for about $60, and a lot of the special effects are terrible. It looks like a fucking made for Sci-Fi Channel movie, but it's kind of neat seeing. It's mostly about Reggie. He's looking pretty fucking old, and obviously Angus Scrimm is dead, so it's nice to see those dudes back up on the big screen. But if you're a fan of the old, any of the other Phantasm movies, you got to check this out. And for fuck's sake, definitely go see Phantasm Remastered, because it looks and sounds fucking amazing. Is that 2 minutes? Is that kosher?
That is kosher and halal. That's for Muslims, if you weren't aware.
I'll fill the another quick minute here. The Greasy Strangler, one of the best fucking movies of the year. It's fucking stupid. It's kind of like if Troma had directed Napoleon Dynamite. One of the best comedies I've seen in years. And it's probably one of those kind of movies that you're either going to fucking adore and fall immediately in love with or fucking hate. I've seen so much shit this week. My brain sort of started to turn to mush and I'm like forgetting things that I fucking saw, but check out Greasy Strangler. Check out Raw. I saw a movie today called The High Frontier. That was pretty good. I saw a doc called The Original Copy. That's about movie theaters in India. That's pretty good. That'll all come in a fucking Fancy and Friends later. I'm not going to waste all this time talking about movies. I did get to sit next to Leonard Maltin for Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Did you touch his leg or his crotch?
He smelled delightful. I don't know what kind of cologne that guy wears, but Leonard Maltin, you smell like $1 million, my friend. You're a pleasure to sit next to as compared to some of the other festival attendees. He asked me, he had never seen the first season of Ash vs. Evil Dead, so he asked me if it was like episodic and if there was stuff that he had to catch up on. I'm like, not really. I mean, if you've seen the movies, you can kind of, I think you'll do fine here. Leonard Maltin, you've seen a lot of shit, so... that was interesting. It was like Leonard Maltin to the right of me, and then his two guests, and then Bruce Campbell and Lee Majors and the rest of the cast of Ash vs. Evil Dead, which we got to see the first two episodes. It's fucking, as expected, it's fucking great. So I think that starts like this weekend or something, so go watch it. I don't know what else. I ran into Doug Benson the first thing I got here and smoked the fucking best weed I've ever smoked in my entire life. And sat through a movie called Arrival, which is terrible. And that's the new Park Chan-wook movie, Handmaidens, which is great.
Doesn't Doug have a movie podcast or something? Doug does movies or something?
He's got a couple of them. He's already done one this week, which I somehow managed to miss, which is Doug Loves Movies.
Then he has Getting Doug with High.
There's that one. He's doing one tonight. That's the Doug Benson movie Interruption, which is going to be Monster Squad. So. Okay.
Awesome.
That should be pretty cool.
His stand-up is pretty good. I like him.
He's a nice guy.
He seems like a really chill dude.
We were making fun of the locals and all of their luggage, and there's a story there for another day. But yeah, got first thing in Austin, Texas, got fucking insanely high with Doug Benson. So
now that's the story.
Kind of a cool deal. I'm trying to think of what else. All kinds of shits, but way too much to talk about in fucking 10 minutes has happened while I've been here. But I actually really like Austin. It's full of, I don't know, it's kind of split between, like, homeless people and, like, super-duper fucking rich hippie-yuppie types. And a whole bunch of hipsters that fall in between that really like their mustaches and their craft beer.
Yeah, Austin is an interesting place, so I hear. So did you answer my question about what drew you to horror, like, initially? I didn't catch it.
I guess when I got old enough to realize how fucked the real world is, this is a tricky question. What was anybody else's fucking answer?
We haven't done it yet, because that's in the next hour. You're first up.
On the maiden voyage, huh? Fuck.
And so far, I'm pretty sure we hit an iceberg and a coral reef.
I guess at some point I just got bored with other kinds of movies and I started to dig a little bit deeper into cinema and I discovered movies like Reservoir Dogs and fucking Taxi Driver and then moved on to stuff like George Romero and fucking the Evil Dead movies and I don't know, it's just been like a kind of snowball, like progressive kind of thing. Like I'm always, you know, once you've seen a movie that's great and you might go back to it and stuff, but you're always kind of like chasing the dragon, I guess, as far as that goes.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, and we're going to talk about that a bit in the next hour.
We are.
Yay.
We are.
Yay! I won't be there. I'm on my way to a movie called what's it called? We Are the Flesh, which has been really divisive. Like, it's kind of another one that sounds like I'm either gonna love it or hate it. And like everybody I've talked to about it says they don't know what to make of it. But there's a trailer there. It's called We Are the Flesh 2016. Go look at the trailer and maybe this thing will come out at some point. I doubt it. It sounds like it has so much fucking nudity in it that the only way it's going to make it to like home video is in a heavily edited version. So
I'll be on British TV. If you listen to the playback of this show, you'll understand.
Yeah, Duncan showed us a game show where they show like full frontal nudity, and this woman is like looking at these men's Johnsons and trying to pick which one she likes.
It's a dating show where basically the people that she could date are naked in front of her.
That's always kind of been my understanding, is that they have a lot less problem with the fucking human body in Europe than we do here in the Americas.
Yeah, not except in Germany. Though. That's what's kind of blown my mind. That's I think everyone thinks continental Europe is very liberal with that sort of thing. But if you've ever heard of the British stiff upper lip when it comes to sex, remember our government banned squirting. So
France is okay with it, but like England, Scotland, all those countries are like, nope, we don't like naked bodies.
I thought stiff upper lip was like an AC/DC song.
Yeah, and it comes from comes from that phrase.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, the British are known for, well, when I say the British, I mean the English, not the Scottish. The Scottish are fairly liberal.
You said AC/DC and it reminded me of one other movie that I wanted to mention, is the Wolf Cop sequel. Yes. The reason AC/DC reminded me of that is because we saw an incomplete version of this where a lot of the CG is taken out and none of the music is ready, so they have a temp score that has like Hell's Bells and like Sweet Child of Mine, all these songs.
Not an AC/DC song.
I know.
Oh, okay.
They fucking, no, if they got, like, to get clearance to all these songs would cost way more than the movie cost, but it didn't really, I fucking hated Wolf Cop 2. I'm sorry. I loathed this fucking movie, and it was a big disappointment because I really liked the first one. The other huge, the secret screening that we did was the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, which blew a lot of people's minds because I for example, didn't even know he had a new movie coming out.
Yeah, it's got James McAvoy in it. We were just talking about that earlier.
I probably hated that more than anything I've seen at the entire festival. I was so fucking disappointed because I could have gone to some great shit, and I chose the mystery box, and it was M. Night Shyamalan. What a fucking twist.
Twist!
So, yeah, that movie sucks. I think it comes out in like January or something. Don't fucking waste your time. I'm sorry.
Don't go watch it.
Don't watch it. It was bad.
So Danny left the room, as you might have noticed.
I'm surprised.
And he...
I think that happened a while ago.
Yeah, it did happen a while ago. And now he has told me what to push for halftime. So I guess that means I have to start halftime?
You enjoy the rest of your trip, Mark, and we will speak to you when you come back.
Have fun, and we'll...
I will. I'll be back next week for a full show. I am back off to the Draft House to watch movies, so you guys have a good show. We'll see you guys later.
We'll be back to help us have the official kickoff to October.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
Delivery is passionate, the whole and not the half of it. Forecasting aftermath of it, projectile and I'm blast away. Accurate assassin shit, me and Quali close like Bethlehem and Nazareth. After this, you be pressing rewind on top your master. This shining like an asterisk for all those that you gather. Connecting like a rent house from the townhouse to the tenements. Cause all my Brooklyn residents on a heavy regiment. Don't believe, hear the evidence. We're Brooklyn. See that? Buy the ticket, all can't believe that. From where they send the tree at to where the police react. Where they paint murals of Biggie and Cash, we trust, cause this ghetto fabulous life look pretty. What a pity, blunts are still 50 cents, it's intense. Street sense is dominant, can't be covered with incense. My presence felt, my name is Quali from the eternal reflection. People thinking MC is shorthand for misconception. Let me meditate, set it straight. Came to the conclusion that most of these cats is featherweight. Let me demonstrate, walk in the street.
battling. Be careful with your body. You must know karate. You think it's hell is bulletproof like Jade. Stop acting like a bitch already. Be a visionary. And maybe you can see your name in the column of obituaries. Third grade teacher reading and talking about. I knew he'd amount to nothing. Neighbors like he was the quiet type. Who'd have thought they was fronting? Talking loud like you and RCA. Get caught in the way with body parts and trays. What a way to start your day. Yo, it's like
1, 2, 3. Most of the time it was we came to rock it on to the tip top. Best alliance in hip hop. Bio. I said 1, 2, 3. It's kinda dangerous to be an MC. They shot Tupac and Biggie. Too much violence in hip hop. Bio.
I said my hat keep on making it. Brooklyn keep on taking it. So relax with the gimmick back. Red Hook where we're living at. Clearly got me struggling and hustling and bubbling. It ain't about production and what is we discussing. Ever since I was a snot-nosed colossal, true original B-boy apostle, standing on a rooftop with the Zulu Gestapo.
You think you the shit, somebody in the wings will force you to quit. It could be your crew, a click, or some random kid you smoke Buddha with. Consider me the entity within the industry without a history. You're spitting the epitome of stupidity. Living my life, expressing my liberty, you gotta be done properly. My name is in the middle of equality. People follow me and other cats that hear them flow and assume I'm the real one with the lyrics like I'm Cyrano.
Still sipping with your well water imported from Pluto, 360 milliliters for all the believers in miles of killer beaters. Most cats cannot proceed us in the jungle with the leaders. We the lions, you the cheaters. A cypher who complete us if we come through your receivers. You can play us and repeat us and then take us home and read us. Good Jesus, most epic quality just make a pussy freeze up. Think it over, ease up.
1, 2, 3, most epic talent. Tip top, best alliance in hip hop. Why, oh, I said 1, 2, 3.
the Midnight Horror Show for the second hour, where we will be taking a different turn. So here is the new second hour of the Midnight Horror Show. Dr. Dark?
So for the month of October, we're going to explore some real-life horror situations, and tonight I thought I'd do just a brief introduction to kick off how the month of October will be for the new improved Midnight Horror Show. Second hour of the Midnight Horror Show. Everyone seems to enjoy a good spooky tale, a scary movie, or a suspenseful novel. There's just something about monsters, demons, things that go bump in the night and defy conventional explanations that draws people in. There's a special feeling we get when we let our guards down and allow ourselves to be frightened. Feel that tight feeling in our chest, pulse quickening, goosebumps rising on our skin, that feeling of dread. However, those feelings are decidedly different when we are in the midst of our own personal horrors, whatever the cause might be. Throughout the month of October and the Halloween season, we will present some real-life horror situations that real people have dealt with, and how these situations have evolved into paranormal manifestations. We will also discuss how art imitates life, and how the horror genre has used horrific situations that have occurred in real life as inspirations for its work. Specialists in many fields of science have spent time researching why we enjoy scary movies. A 2015 article in Psychology Today offers insight into what draws us toward horror films. Citing a 2004 publication in the Journal of Media Psychology, the article suggests that tension, relevance, and unrealism are the three main characteristics of horror movies that attract viewers. The tension aspect includes suspense, mystery, and terror that are found in many films. Those parts in scary movies, when you are sitting on the edge of your seat with bated breath, waiting to see what happens next, where the killer will pop up, if the would-be survivor girl makes it out of the house. The relevance draw is whether or not the subject matter of the film is particularly meaningful on an individual or a cultural level. The viewer identifies with the film on some internal level. This could mean that the movie hits close to home with a personal experience or a deep-seated fear, like demonic possession, haunted houses, or a variety of apocalyptical scenarios. In much the same way, unrealism can be a drawing card for some horror fans who see the subject matter that is being depicted as utterly ridiculous, absurd, or impossible to the point that they feel compelled to watch. Much speculation has been made about the effects of viewing horror movies on a person's psyche and mental state. WebMD reports that observable physical reactions do occur when people watch horror movies, and the body's reactions to the fear that these films elicit are essentially the same as the reactions that occur when real-life situations come up to bring about fear reactions. Some of the physical reactions that occur during horror movies include increases in heart rate of up to 15 beats per minute, sweaty palms, cooling skin temperatures, tense muscles, and spikes in blood pressure. Glenn Sparks, professor of communications at Purdue University, says that our brains have not evolved to distinguish between real situations and imaginary ones, such as those found in horror films. This is not the only primal physical reaction to horror movies that Sparks points to. He also studied the reactions of young men to horror movies, and he found that the more fear they experienced during the movie, the more they claimed to enjoy the film. He likens this experience to those that young men once faced in a tribal rite of passage, which is mostly absent in modern society, and our entertainment is being used as a replacement. In this way, viewing horror films is similar to riding roller coasters or frat house initiations. Other theories about why we are drawn to horror movies include rebellion and morbid curiosity. Dr. James B. Weaver III says that young people may be drawn to horror films because adults frown on them for unrealism, gore, and violence, thus making them curious to see what adults are making a big deal about. Likewise, some adults are drawn to horror films out of a sense of morbid curiosity, much like looking at the scene of a car wreck. Additionally, humans seem to have an instinct to make themselves aware of things that could possibly harm them, even if the possibility is slim, as with horror movie scenarios. Still, other theories suggest that people seek out violent forms of entertainment as a means of coping with actual violence. One study mentioned by Professor Sparks indicated that interest in movies involving murder increased on a college campus shortly after the real-life murder of a student on that campus. Another popular explanation is that horror movies act as a sort of relief valve on impulses to act on cruel or aggressive impulses. Research on the impacts of viewing violent media suggests that may not be the case. Dr. Weaver conducted an experiment in which two groups of students were shown different kinds of movies for several consecutive days. One group was shown non-violent films, while the other was shown more physically violent films, such as Steven Seagal and Chuck Norris movies. Both groups of students were presented with a research assistant who treated them rudely. The students who had watched the violent film suggested harsher punishments for the rude assistant than those who watched the non-violent films. Dr. Joanne Cantor, the University of Wisconsin in Madison, surveyed her students and found that 60% of them reported that something that they had viewed before the age of 14 caused disturbances in their sleep or waking life, such as fear of water, fear of clowns, obsessing over horrific images, or being disturbed by the mere mention of some movies. Cantor hypothesizes that the brain stores memories of these films in the amygdala, the region of the brain that generates emotions. She says that horror films may produce similar reactions in the brain as actual trauma, just as they create the same physical reactions as real-life situations. These trauma reactions can be difficult to overcome or erase, so it may be that our brains themselves become haunted from the watching of horror films. Regardless of whether there are any real lasting impacts of experiencing violent media, it still seems that for one reason or another, a large percentage of people are drawn to the horror genre and its wide range of subgenres. Let's take a few minutes right now and talk about what initially attracted your TMHS hosts to the horror genre and how their interests have changed and evolved over the years. Who would like to go first? Duncan, would you like to tell us what drew you to horror films and what keeps you coming back for more?
I think I mentioned many moons ago, I think possibly maybe the first time you had me on here on the show as a guest, about my introduction to horror, which came through fairly poor babysitting. I've got two brothers, I've got an older brother and a younger brother, and when my mum would go out and we had the babysitter around, she would rent three videos for us to watch, and my younger brother always got the, I would have been maybe about 8 or 9 years old, my younger brother always got the cartoon. I was supposed to get the action movie, and my older brother was supposed to get the horror movie, and my big brother did not like horror movies at all, and for whatever reason, I very, very, very vaguely remember sitting down and watching Maniac Cop, which was not long out at the time, and watching it and just being blown away by how crazy and over the top and just exciting. It was like a thrill ride. It was like watching, it was like basically the visual equivalent of like a roller coaster, and you know, I was all over the place watching this, and he's, is he dead, is he not dead? And very, very quickly after that, there was more movies coming into my house for me to watch. Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, and that progressed really quickly to the point that I got to pick the movies that I wanted. And I think the biggest impact on horror for me was the video shop. I think going to the video shop and seeing all these insanely bright and colourful and macabre pictures were on the front covers of VHSs, I think it sparks your imagination. And, you know, most of the times what was on the front cover was not what was in the movie. but I think that was maybe what it was. Even younger than that, I always liked like Grimm's fairy tales. Anything that had a dark edge to it, I loved Roald Dahl. Those are the things that kind of sparked my imagination, were things that had a slightly darker or more sinister edge. So I think horror became that outlet. And then why I keep coming back to it, well, I've said before also on this show, in my adolescence I wasn't exactly popular. I listened to metal music and didn't really speak to many people, which didn't ingratiate me into anyone's good graces. And horror was a really good outlet for that, because you tend to find that the loners and the outcasts in horrors, horror movies, the ones that try to do right, so to speak, were the ones that usually survive to the end. And at the same time, the misfits, on some level, the ones that were bullied or whatever, would be potentially the creature that came back from the dead. So there were really good outlets. And then obviously books and stuff like that, Stephen King first and foremost, and then Clive Barker. Why I keep coming back to it, I think it's probably the most exciting genre in cinema, because you can put any message you want in it. Horror, you can almost tell decade by decade when horror comes out by the themes that it covers. You look at the movies from the kind of 50s, it's all about, you know, science, the atomic age. Even if you jump back to the 20s and you look at the original things of like Frankenstein, it's all to do with the perceived modern medicine that was happening back then. And that carries right through. There's a reason the 80s movies are all over the top and decadent. It's because the 80s were a decadent era.
The go-go 80s.
On. Yeah, it's continued on. There's no sign of it stopping. This year alone, the highest grossing movies out with superhero movies have been horror movies across the board. The Conjuring 2 made over $350 million, which is fucking insane that a horror movie made that. So yeah, I think that's why I keep coming back. I think for every bad movie, and there's a lot of bad movies out there, there are a couple that land every year when I'm just like, this is one of the coolest, sickest, macabre things I've ever seen. And long may it continue. People keep telling you, see when you're growing up and your parents are like, oh, he's watching those Freddy Krueger movies again. And they're like, he'll grow out of it. It's just a phase. Never grown out of it. And all my friends that love horror movies are exactly the same. Never grew out of it. Grew into it, but never grew out of it.
Yeah, I guess I was scared of everything as a kid. Like, literally everything. Like, my older sisters used to scare the shit out of me constantly. My dad would scare the shit out of me constantly. He had this, like, mask that he used to pull out of the closet and scare the shit out of me with. They had one of those chimps that had the symbols on his hands and clapped them together and, like, blinked its eyes and shit. I don't know why they had it. They never did anything else like that my whole life. It was there when I was born. I don't know how it came about, but so there was that. And my older sisters used to love to make me watch scary movies when I was a kid. And they were like 9 and 11 years older than me. So when I'm like 3, you know, they're 12, 14, and, you know, getting into horror movies and stuff in the 80s and trying to make me watch like all kinds of zombie movies, all the Friday the 13th movies they were big into. And I was literally scared of everything. I was afraid of the dark. I had night lights. I was scared of my fucking shadow. When we moved to a different house, I was afraid to go to the basement by myself at night. I would turn the lights on, like, as I was moving through different parts of the basement, like as I would go down the stairs, as I would cut across, as I would go into another room. And I was literally afraid of everything. And it wasn't until like high school that I actually confronted any of this. And that was how I really did it. I never watched horror movies until I was probably like 16 years old. We went on a school event trip and we went to this like haunted village, and Danny was there. I mean, he knows what I'm talking about, up in York, Pennsylvania. And I went through this like 45-minute long haunted house experience that was just constantly shit coming at you like all over the place. And it scared me at first really bad, to the point of being numb, to the point that I didn't even care anymore. I'm like, oh God, there's another person with the chainsaw, or, you know. And that helped me overcome it. And then I started watching movies and I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I can handle this shit. I can actually sit through this and not like feel like I'm going to piss my pants or, you know, be afraid to go outside at night. But I was, I mean, Danny can attest to the fact that I was still afraid to go outside at night sometimes, but.
Yeah, there was a time where we were with one of the old hosts of the show, Wolfman Lucas,
And we were going up these back roads. It's not even really a road. You go across this creek, and it's just kind of...
No, we passed the end of state maintenance sign, and we were on someone's farm is where we were.
Yeah, so you go way, way back this farm road, and there's this abandoned building back there that looks like a house. It's the creepiest thing in the whole world. It's like a full-built house, windows, the whole nine yards, but there's nothing there. There's no driveway to it. There's no electricity. It just sits there. And we tried to take Dark back there one time, and...
Let's just start with the fact that Wolfman was not a good driver, and his car was famous for leaving you stranded places.
Okay, that was not it at all. The dude was like pale white, and he was like,
"I'm always pale
white. There's no freaking way that I'm going to go up there." And he was just like, he was so adamant he was not going, and he was ready to strangle somebody. I mean, he was peed off, man. I mean, he was ready to hurt somebody.
I was
over
pissed as shit, and I was like, turn the goddamn car around. We're not going back there. He almost got hung up trying to cross that creek, and that was when I was like, no more. We are turning around, getting the fuck off these people's property. I mean, I was so scared, but there's nothing I could do. It wasn't like I could jump out of the car and, you know, run across these people's farm to the road or some shit. I was scared to death. I mean, I was high as a kite, too, and super paranoid. But, I mean, I was just terrified. So, yeah, horror movies helped me, like, get over my fear of that. And now I guess I keep watching them to make sure that, you know, I'm not afraid of anything new that I didn't realize, and that I've kept my ability to watch them. And so far, so good.
Yeah, mine would be more along the lines of Madman Gamer, and actually several of the people over here in the chat have posted, and Dark, you want to bring those up after the fact, or?
Sure.
Okay, I didn't know where you were going to go with that. Anyways, mine would be very similar to his. He says Sci-Fi Channel, USA Up All Night. And a lot of people I see mention their grandmother, and that's kind of how it was with me and my brother, because my grandma had HBO, and we didn't, and they had Tales from the Crypt. So, you know, my grandparents would go to sleep real early, and we would watch Tales from the Crypt. So I guess that kind of did it. And she had one of those really old Disney Sounds from the Haunted House records.
Oh,
and so we
yeah.
used to put that on in the background, and that would be like our soundscape for when we were imagination playing, you know, the cats screeching and the witches and all that stuff. So, yeah, I guess my grandma's house kind of played a role in all that. And the funny thing was, though, when I first started watching horror movies, I actually didn't watch them. I listened to them. I would watch some of it, and then when I knew it was going to get bad, I would run and hide right beside the TV so I couldn't see it. And my brother would have to watch it, who was way younger than me. He's like 4 years younger than me. So he's a little kid when he's watching this stuff. And he was just fine with it. It never bothered him. And I couldn't watch them. It scared me so bad. But I love that. I love that feeling of being scared. And that's why I did, you know, roller coasters, going into abandoned houses. That's why, because I love that feeling. And so that's why I always stuck with, you know, I love movies in general. You know, I watch a little bit of everything and have always, but I will lean more towards horror. Horror just gives you more of an outlet to express, you know, you really. You know what I mean? You don't see a lot of people that are in love with the action genre and can really express it through themselves in everyday life. It just doesn't, you know what I mean? That just doesn't really happen. But, you know, horror's everywhere nowadays. I mean, you can get horror everywhere. If you're a horror fan, it's a good time to be one. I mean, you've got, you know, free stories going up all the time on Creepypasta and No Sleep and Chilling Tales and Pseudopod. And, you know, you've got all these audio dramas and all these shows like what we do and Duncan does and what Bo does, what everyone does talking about horror. I mean, it's a really good time to be a horror fan. You know what I mean? There's outlets everywhere. We didn't have this when we were kids. We had Fangoria. I mean, now you've got Fangoria, you've got Horror Hound, you've got Rue Morgue. I mean, you've got all these great, and Horror Hound's amazing. I just want to say that that's an amazing magazine. Not that all three of them aren't, but that one's, I love Horror Hound. But we didn't have any of this stuff back in the day. And I think Bo mentioned it earlier in the chat room, video stores, which they don't have nowadays either. The VHS covers.
Duncan mentioned it, actually, yeah, when that's, he was talking.
Yeah. The 80s covers, just, whew, you know.
Yeah, those scared the shit out of me, too. I was afraid to go in the movie rentals.
Yeah, well, me and Bo were discussing the when you were talking about the Chattering Monkey. We were talking about Skeleton Crew Yeah.
And
that'd
yeah.
be on the cover. So it made me think of Monkey Shines. And it's just like Duncan, when Duncan said, you know, the covers didn't always reflect exactly what was in the movie. Well, Monkey Shines, that cover is nothing what's in that film at all. But those, you know, what was the other one with the lake of Zombie Lake or whatever? None of these covers, Shockwaves, these things were amazing covers, but mm-hmm. never reflected what the movie was going to look like. But as a child, you know, that was awesome. You know, that was cool to go over there and look at those covers and stare at those images and go home and just think about that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, your imagination starts running wild and you start thinking. I mean, I remember the first time I saw the Hellraiser cover, and the Hellraiser cover was literally just a picture of Pinhead. That's all it is Pinhead's face, and I didn't know who Pinhead was. And I was looking at that, and I thought Pinhead was the victim. And I was like, look what they've done to that poor guy. They've hammered nails into his head. I don't know if I want to watch this movie. Look at him. He's like a dead body with nails hammered into his head. And when I finally saw that movie, and it wasn't long after I'd seen the cover, actually, and I sat down and watched it, and then you realise, oh, this guy's not the good guy. This guy's the bad guy. And I don't know why I thought that. It's like, because by then I'd already seen Freddy Krueger, and Freddy Krueger's face is a mess. you know, but your imagination always took it to the next level.
That was the other thing. My sisters would always sing that goddamn 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you.
And you also mentioned the mask thing. And it's funny because my dad did the same thing. He had this weird green mask that he'd pull out. And my dad, he still does this to this day. If he knows I got to stop by the house to, grab the keys to borrow the truck or something like that, he'll stand behind a corner that he knows I'm going to have to walk by, and he'll stand there for 20 minutes. He doesn't give a shit. He's going to make sure he gets his scare. And, I mean, he does this all the time. And he's been doing it since I was a child. What we would do, you know, kids are going outside and they're playing frisbee and football with their dads. All me and my brother wanted to do was he would shut the lights off and we would sit on the bed and he would crawl all the way around the bed real quietly and he'd come out of nowhere and just do the jump scare and then rip one of us off the bed while we're trying to bring the other one back on in the pitch black. And we did this all the time. It was terrifying. And my parents and my grandma, that's what. And nowadays they wonder. They're like, why do you like all that horror stuff? And I try to I try to remind them of these things, and they're like, well, I don't remember it like that, Brian. I'm like, of course you don't. You weren't 3 years old.
You weren't an adult.
Yes. And so I do it to my kids now. It's funny because I use the mask thing for them. I'll say, if you're not going to clean up, I'm going to have to go tell the monster. Or it was in the other day. It was my son was trying to eat his. He wouldn't eat his sandwich, and I was like, "Well, you know, if you're not going to eat the sandwich, I'm going to have to go tell the monster." And you know, he's like, "Yeah," he's giving me that look, like, "Yeah, right, fucking do it." So I go upstairs and I grab the bub mask. You know, it's the full bub mask that comes down on the neck and everything. You know what I mean? So you tuck it into your shirt, and there is no part of you that is you. It's all everywhere. So I put that on. And I get onto the top step, and I hear him hand the sandwich to my wife and say, and she's telling him, good job. And I'm like, oh, okay, easy. And he comes to show me that he's eating the sandwich, comes running to the stairs, and I can't get the mask off in time. And he's got this smile on his face like, Daddy, and all of a sudden it just dropped. And the thing is, he's going to remember that for years to come, and he's going to talk about it because I was in his position. He is now
pay someone to listen to him.
Oh my god! I mean, if you could have seen, if I could have bottled the look on his face right then, I've never seen something drop so quickly. Lights can't turn off that quickly. All right, stars can't burn out. I mean, it's just, it was insane.
Yeah, it usually takes millions.
Yeah,
of
I know.
Years.
That's why I stopped that one, sir. That's why I stopped that one.
Do you want to hear something? Because Smoke has shared his experience, and it is one of the most twisted fucking things I've ever heard
in
my entire life. So it says, when I was a kid, my mum would drop me off at my uncle's house, and she would leave.
I'm scared.
And she would
already.
Say, oh, fucking hell, Smoke, honestly. She would drop me off at my uncle's house, and when she would leave, he would say, hey, let's go into the basement and make a horror movie. When down there, he would play an old 8mm camera, play Styx records backwards, and put on a Chuck E. Cheese mask and yell, Charles is going to get you, while he tore at his clothes as I run around. It was quite an adrenaline rush. Years later, and my uncle may have long mysteriously disappeared, but my love of horror movie remains. Also, hardcore rape fantasies.
Oh, my God. All I picture...
Smoke. Fucking hell, man. Honestly.
I picture that dad from the first Butterfly Effect down there in that basement. It's all smoky and nasty, and the kids are, like, waking up like, why are my clothes not on? It's horrible, man.
Can you think of a movie that you saw at an impressionable age or when you were getting into horror that you just had an irrational fear of that now you don't understand why you had that irrational fear?
Yeah, Invaders from Mars. I've said the creatures, oh, yeah. The creatures that are jumping underground, they're like blah, 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 these big jumping eyeball things. I was terrified of that when I was a kid. I couldn't even remember what it was. There's two movies that I still have yet to identify. That one was one of them. There's one, and I'm never going to be able to identify this. It came on Up All Night one night, and all I remember is all these kids were out somewhere, and the one goes to turn the girl around, and when he turns her around, her whole eye is like dripping down her face.
Mm-hmm.
And I that's all I remember about it, and I wish I could remember more so someone could tell me what this movie was. But yeah, no, that's I had an irrational fear of Invaders from Mars, big time.
Bobby, you, Doc, any movies that when you saw them the first time, you just had this like irrational fear, and you don't know why now because it doesn't have that effect on you?
I think probably the first time as a kid when my sisters were watching Christine, like mm-hmm. it just scared me to think that a car could like take over and do those kinds of things. And now I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that's a good story, but, you know, I'm not really, it's kind of silly to be scared of a car. I'm trying to think. I mean, I was pretty much scared of everything. And as far as people were talking about, you know, the role of grandparents, my great-grandmother, who used to babysit me, would threaten me that if I didn't behave, that the devil was going to come down the chimney into the fireplace and get me. And she used to tell me that... he or Santa Claus, one or the other, depending on, you know, what was going on and what time of year it was, would be in the basement in the spare bedroom down there in case they were needed to keep me in line. And my other grandmother, the house she lived in was built in like 1835, which is not really old to you probably, Duncan, but it is fairly old for a farmhouse here in America. And it's been through, like, you know, decades of the family and generations, and many, many people have died in there. And she's told me all of these scary stories about the house and things. And my parents moved into that house after she passed away. And literally, I installed one of those things that you can control a ceiling fan with a remote control. And I literally would turn the light on. This was when I was, like, 19 years old. This room I lived in. Like, I get this feeling in certain places. I don't know how to explain it. I've joked before about being a medium or whatever, but it's nothing like that. It's just, I just get this.
Clairvoyant?
Yeah. Clairsentient, really, because I get this feeling of, like, dread in certain places, and I get it in that room that they made my bedroom in this house.
Dude, a lot of people get that about places like that. That's not weird.
So, I would go, literally, I would come in at night and turn the light on at the switch right by the door. I would get in the bed, like get under the covers, reach over and grab that remote, close my eyes, and turn the click the button to turn the light off on the ceiling fan so that I didn't have my eyes open when the lights went out in this fucking room. I was that creeped out of it.
At 19 years old, right?
Probably still today if I were to go sleep in that house.
I mean, there are places.
You tell me that fucking house isn't creepy.
Yeah, but there are places that I probably still wouldn't go to today or 10 years from now or 20 years from now.
Dude, you went in places that I wouldn't go. Like, when you went in that poor house.
The poor house, and that made me sick. Like, I felt like I had to throw up leaving that place.
I felt like I had to throw up when we got up beside it, and that was why I went back to the car and was like, I just cannot physically go in this place.
It's
the place where, you know, when people were indigent or whatever, they couldn't pay their bills, they couldn't pay their taxes or whatever, they went and lived at this poor farm that the county owned, and they lived there, they died there, they were buried in a field behind the house with just rocks as headstones, and it was, you know... That was just what they did back then.
It was a really creepy place, and
it's a scary fucking old farmhouse.
And Wolfman Lucas took the ventriloquist-looking doll off the couch. It was like a Harlequin clown is what it was. It was just setting... When you walk in, there's this big living room, and there's these really old-fashioned-looking frames with old-fashioned paintings in them everywhere, and there's this
like Harlequin clown doll just sitting on the couch. I mean, it just looks like a bad scenario. And this idiot took it, and it used to ride around in the car with him. And
then we finally burned it in the driveway.
We had to
get
rid of that thing. Yeah, we burned it. That thing was horrible, man. It was horrible.
And weren't you guys? You went in there a couple times, but one of the times, weren't you like in the bottom level and you heard like a dresser or something getting pushed across?
Listen, I'm not kidding you.
The floor of the ceiling above you.
And I don't buy a lot of bullshit when people talk that dumb shit. I don't believe it, but I'm not kidding you. We heard like the dresser slide across the floor above us. It was like. So we usually go in the front door, and this time we went into the basement where there was like a door that you went down some stairs to go into the basement. So we went into the basement this time, and this is why when people sit there and scream about people in horror movies going up the stairs, well, you dumb bitch, why are you going up the stairs? Okay, so the noise came from upstairs, and it scared us so bad, we ran up the stairs towards the noise. Instead of right out the door we just came in, for some reason, we ran up the stairs and down the hallway and out the door. I don't know what, and the worst thing was, I think there were girls with us and everything, and you could tell what kind of person I was that day. I'm pushing those bitches off the stairs. I'm getting out of that motherfucker first. I was gone. I didn't give a shit about any of those motherfuckers in that house. That's probably why I'm not friends with any of them anymore, because I just didn't give a shit. I was getting out of there. I was not going to fucking die in that place. No way.
Yeah, I just knew that I was going to get, like, feel a shotgun blast from someone or something terrible was going to happen.
Yeah, you were worried about real people because you were one of those little nerdy kids that were like, well, I don't want to get in trouble.
That was what I said. Yeah, and look how well that turned out. That was what I that was what I said to you, but, like, I was feeling this. I was so, like, embarrassed to tell you that, no, I have this feeling. I just can't go in this place.
Well, your feeling was not misled. It was a horrible, horrible place, and it was a horrible feeling in that place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to get into some of the other people's
things? A lot of feedback going on in the chat room there. I think you can go below that.
Do you think I can? Yeah. You're telling me where I can go?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you... All right, now you're going past all of it. So Madman Gamer says he fell in love with horror thanks in part to the Sci-Fi Channel. When it first launched, it would play the classic Universal and early Hammer horror films, USA mm-hmm. Up All Night.
Yep, that's where you get all, yeah, Troma.
And they introduced him to Troma. Oh, now someone typed, so it scrolled back down. God damn it. Fucking
technology. And TNT, Monster Vision, which... Fright Rags...
You can read those. It's too difficult for me to try to read.
Fright Rags actually just put out... Today, I think it was, their Monster Vision shirts with Joe Bob Briggs on them. Was that his name, right? It was Joe Bob Briggs?
I don't know. I didn't have cable back then.
Oh, my gosh. He lived in this trailer or something, right? And he would show horror movies on TNT. You know, it was you don't remember TNT Monster Vision, Dr. Dark? It would say Monster Vision and the electro, you know, it was all the electrodes. It's like, and it's all green and really cool, like classic horror looking. And this... hick that lived in a trailer named Joe Bob Briggs would show us horror movies. It was great. I mean, TV was so cool back then. That's back when on a Friday night, the USA Network, they would show you Ray Bradbury Presents, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and then it would go into Swamp Thing, and then USA Up All Night. So it was a really bitchin' lineup when you were a kid. You know, you get to watch all these cool, creepy, mystery, scary stories, and then you might end up watching a movie like Surf Nazis Must Die or The Toxic Avenger or Dinosaurs from Hell. I mean, they threw all kinds of crazy stuff at you. And Monster Vision, I mean, that's, you know, that was great because we got to watch movies edited. And that's why we were allowed to watch horror movies so much younger because we, you know, they didn't give a shit. They were edited. You know, they were on TV.
Yeah. It's on TV. It must be okay.
Yeah, that's how most parents looked at it. And, you know, drive-ins... You know, your parents would take you to see the first movie, which was a kid's movie, but then you end up staying for the second movie, and that was a horror movie. And so we would just sit in the car and just kind of cover our eyes and still watch a horror movie. It was awesome. It's great. I don't remember a lot of them, but...
I never went to a drive-in.
Oh, man, drive-ins are...
And there's one right down the road from me now, you know, but it's closed.
Drive-ins
are
awesome.
I drove past there not too long ago, and the grass is mowed, and all the little, like, things where you hang the speakers out are still there.
Duncan, you ever go to a drive-in, man?
They don't have anything like that over here.
You gotta come over here
just to go to
one.
For obvious reasons, the weather shit.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to. I'm telling you, you gotta come back over here in the summer, and you gotta experience the drive-in. The drive-in is so sweet.
They do events, like, generally during the summer, like the BFI, the British Film Institute, will do, like, they'll pick a particular director or a subgenre or whatever, and then tour around the country with that, putting on special presentations of the movies. They've done, like, Lynch in the past. They've done kind of gothic horror, hammer horror and stuff like that. And occasionally they'll do, you know, open-air ones is what they call them, and they're generally in the city, but they'll be in a, like, a courtyard or something of a, like, a historic building, and they'll play the movie there, but not like a drive through. I believe there is one that comes, like, every year to this place, quite a bit of distance from me, but don't think it's set up like a drive-in, supposed to be set up with a speaker beside the car and stuff like that. It's just a giant screen and loudspeakers, to me, kind of defeats the point.
Now they have it FM modulated, so you know, if it's hot or whatever, you can leave your car running and turn the radio to, like, whatever station.
You're taking out all the fun of it, though, man. I want the old thing in my window. I want it to be, like, old school, man. I don't want to have it on my digital radio and my stupid... I want it to be old school, dude.
There's a reason you need that speaker beside your car anyway, and it's because the light travels quicker than sound, and if your car's parked up the back, what you're seeing on the screen, the volume will not... You know, what you're hearing will not match up with it. There'll be a lag. So... I mean, I've never done those sort of things. To be honest, I think the first horror movie that I actually saw in the cinema, I snuck into, right out of watching a movie which I could get into and then sneaked in, and it was the final Nightmare on Elm Street movie. So not A New Nightmare. So it was Freddy's Dead.
Oh my! With Roseanne
the
Barr,
the one in 3D.
Yes, with the Freddy sperm.
Yes, because I couldn't. God. We snuck in to see that, and we didn't have 3D glasses, and we didn't know. The last bit was in 3D, so the last bit looked hellish. But that was the first one, like, I saw at the cinema, and after that, I was hooked. Every horror movie that came to the cinema that I could get in to see, I would go in to see. And I, like, when I was younger, I did look older for my age.
Yeah, me too.
So yes, I would get in, you know, like, without, you know, occasionally you get maybe like one in every five attempts at the cinema, you may get questioned and you don't have ID, so you get sent away, but the other four you would get to go and see something. So I saw loads. I don't go as much now to the cinema, and that's mostly because smartphones have destroyed cinemas. You can't sit in the dark when everyone around you is fucking glowing.
Oh, it ruins it.
But yeah, I've seen, I mean, the beauty is, and we've talked about these before, like the ability to go and do, it's like a real nostalgia for it everywhere just now, actually, all over the world. And they do, like, obviously things like Mark's at just now, where they're showcasing new movies and old movies and stuff. But there's that thing in Edinburgh, the All Night Horror Madness, where the guy purposely puts together five movies from like the 80s, really, on 35mm, and you go in at midnight and you sit till like 9 in the morning and you watch five movies. And I've seen loads of movies on the big screen that way, you know, presented with the same trailers that would have been there like when the movie was released and all the rest. And it's cool and it's fun and it's quirky and there's a sense of nostalgia to it. But when Danny was saying that, you know, people, it's everywhere, horror's everywhere now, it's not just that you can turn your TV on and watch things like that, or the fact that Netflix exists, or the fact that Shudder exists, you know, people can, you know, have easy access to horror movie. But we are in a scenario now that, see, I'd like my nephew, if I say to my nephew, oh, you like, so you really like this movie, you should totally go out and check the Texas Chainsaw Massacre out. He can go home on his computer, go into a torrent site, type it in, and within 5 minutes watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, when we were kids, you couldn't do that.
Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't in the video store, you didn't see it until it come back into the video store. And if there was a waiting list, that could mean you could be waiting months to see a movie.
Oh, my God.
Nowadays, kids can watch anything they want at the touch of a button. So that the whole history of horror is there at a touch of a button. And we never had that experience. And in some ways it's great, and in other ways it's kind of, it maybe on some level spoils the experience of, I say this, it makes me sound old, but you know, it spoils the experience of building yourself up, that excitement and that, you know, the apprehension of finally getting a chance to see something is kind of lost now when you can have it straight away. So
yeah, but imagine if you still had to wait for the movies and like Facebook and everything existed, and that one person that has seen it had to get on there and gush about it, and no one else could possibly even get their hands on it.
We've spoke about that. How shit would it have been if The Sixth Sense had come out when Facebook and Twitter?
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't have worked.
He wouldn't be making movies right now.
And the same thing
just wouldn't happen.
The same thing is true about The same thing is true about books. I mean, I remember when like our little library here in town, they get one copy of a book, and there would be a waiting list, and it would literally take months to get, you know, a novel from the library if you were trying to get it that way. And you know, now you can just download it on any device. You can download, you know, the Audible version of it instead of having to try to like check out a book on tape somewhere or whatever, and having like 17 cassette tapes of a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, but
we were talking about this recently. Me and Danny had Danny on my show to talk about. Was it Misery?
Yeah, Misery, yeah.
And you said you were going on vacation with your family, and the journey out and back pretty much covered the 15 tapes or something.
Oh,
yeah. This
is like 15 tapes. It was a ton of tapes for it, man. It was crazy. It was insane. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. I lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere with
it.
I know. I'm actually really upset with myself because I really wanted to go somewhere with that, and I've just totally lost my train of thought. Started thinking about Misery and the audiobook, and I know what I was going to say. I was going to say that, you know, even though we do have this instant access, which is great for us to go find the, you know, alternate stuff, even though we didn't have as far of a reach of it, that's probably why, though, that I didn't just have Stephen King when it came to horror novels when I was younger.
Yeah.
Because the library, okay, so I can't get the new Stephen King. I can't get Misery. I can't get Gerald's Game when it comes out. So, all right, let me head over to that section. I got to find something else for now. And then that's when you find Clive Barker or you find Peter Straub and you start finding other Dean Koontz. You find other authors and start branching out that way. So
I remember lifting, being at the local library and lifting up the Hellbound Heart.
Oh, my gosh, that cover.
On the cover of the Hellbound Heart, it said, you know, I have seen the new face of horror, and his name is Clive Barker, and that was a quote from
Stephen
King.
Did you have
and
the
I,
cover?
I was a Stephen King fanatic, and reading that, I was like, this guy must be amazing. And then from there, I mean, from that moment, I've been a lifelong Clive Barker fan, and I would never have, I would have walked past that book, I would never have picked up if Stephen King's name hadn't been emblazed on the front of it.
Did you have the cover where it's the skinned people like sitting there and they're sitting there with their legs crossed, and then when you flip it over, it's like the skinned bust of a person.
No. No, it was I think it was if memory serves, the cover was like a hand drawn illustration by Barker.
Oh, okay.
It was like a really rough thing of Pinhead, but I mean, what I was going to say is That's another thing that's been lost. Not that I want to bang on about why our generation, you know, when we were kids growing up, you know, had
back
it slightly
in our
better.
Day.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But you don't get that now. You don't get. I mean, Stephen King's name still holds a lot of weight. So when Stephen King says, you know, I've seen this movie and it's great, you know, it holds a bit of credence and stuff. But back, like in the 80s, you had like horror directors from like the 60s saying, you know, these guys are the new generation of horror. Now what we rely on to tell us what the new generation of horror is fanzines. There's like things like Bloody Disgusting, and Bloody Disgusting have a vested interest in pushing you in a certain direction as well. Yeah. And as a result, people get quite skeptical of it. That voice is, I mean, the great example is this week, all over the internet has been this interview with John Carpenter from 2011. So I don't know why it's doing the fucking rims as much as it has been doing. And he was asked a question at a, you know, one of these panels about Rob Zombie's Halloween, and he calls Rob Zombie a piece of shit and says he doesn't like Halloween. And his criticisms are not really all that bad, actually, but I agree with him. But that's been doing the rounds now. And the thing about social media is it can keep perpetuating these things. I mean, John Carpenter's had to release a tweet that said, "I spoke to Rob Zombie on Sunday. We have buried the hatchet. All is cool." But the fact you can go onto Facebook and, like, fucking B. Arthur dies every other month on Facebook. You know what I mean? That pops back up and people fucking share that motherfucker. Like, it's so secular that it goes around like that. But, the horror has been affected in a negative way as well as a positive way. The positive way is that people all over the world who get the... Mark's a great example. Mark's seen some horror movies tonight today that probably won't be out for a while. But the fact that he's talking about them online and other people are talking about them at horror conventions using social media drums up a bit of support and interest that maybe some studio will take a bit of interest. Well, look how it's trending. Right, we'll put this out on a Blu-ray, a DVD, or a VOD. When in the past, that business model didn't exist. So if a movie came to your local drive-thru, for example, it was a really fucked up movie, it played there, maybe made its way to VHS and limited, something like that, and then after a while it just disappears and it's not there anymore and you can't get it. And the fact that you now are in a position where these, you know, there's so much interest about it. People are genuinely craving horror now, and numbers that weren't there before makes it likely that these movies will make their way there. Or your next got a full cinematic run based off its appearance at South by Southwest. So, you know, these sort of things have impacts as well. I think moving forward, as, you know, people that are fans of horror movies, it might not always push the movies into the cinema, but the VOD platform allows, you know, all these horror movies, all these different stories, all these different styles to go there. And like I said earlier on, the reason I love horror so much is it is one of the most eclectic genres. I mean, most comedies now are either rom-coms, you know, The Hangover remade about a million times, or like an indie comedy. That's it. That is your three. You know what I mean? Action movies are either, you know, tough, gritty action movies, or they're kind of tongue-in-cheek Jason Statham movies, and that's your action movies now. Horror has so many subcategories and so many things it can spell out that it caters to everyone, even people that aren't horror fans. There is a subgenre of horror there that you could get them into, and once you get that gateway, once you get that, like, that taste of something that you really, really like, you start branching out from there. I've got people that I work with who couldn't give less of a fuck about horror the 2 years ago when I started at my work that are now engaging me in conversations about, I saw this movie last night.
Dude, I've got the same thing. I've got
fucking weird.
I got a guy at work that's not really big. He was never really big into horror. He started using the Audible account, listening to some of the horror books. I got him watching horror movies. He just watched Train to Busan the other night, and he's like, this is amazing. And I mean, he would have never been watching this shit like a year or two ago. But
yeah,
he just bled into it.
Yeah.
It's like, and it was TV shows like The Strain and The Walking Dead that kind of helped bring him to this side. So, you know, you're like, it is true. There's a little bit out there for everyone. And Dr. Dark, you're going to touch on all this, aren't you?
There's something for everybody.
You're going to touch on all this, right?
I'm going to touch it all.
All right, well, touch it. It's time to go, so why don't you tell people...
Pull it out so I can touch it.
First of all, next week, we are back for October, and we are doing horror for October. We could be doing horror longer, depending on if you guys get it
if
out
you
there.
Like
get the word
it.
Out there, share it, like it, let us know, and we can, you know...
Here's our promise to you.
We might just go back to horror.
If you share our show, we won't embarrass you in some of the ways we have in the past. We won't
say... Yeah, we'll clean it up.
We
will not say those words anymore. We will put the episodes out.
Don't just say
every
he
Thursday.
Won't say them. You say
I,
one, too,
you
that
know,
people
I
don't
do
like.
Say, I do say the one that people don't like, and I'll stop saying it. I've got no problem with saying it. I don't have a problem with cleaning up all the language if you wanted for the second hour. I can't do it for the first hour, too.
No, I don't
That's
care
what
cuss words and stuff you
it's
say.
Not going to happen. But, yeah, so the first hour next week and for all of October and possibly, you know, further, we are going to throw in topics where, you know, we're going to do some horror news. We've got for this entire month, Duncan Defends starting next week.
Yeah, the movie will be announced by the end of this week.
Amazing.
I'm still debating. I've got a choice between about three.
Ooh, I can't wait.
And I might end up doing all three on this run, but I'm kind of hoping that once I've done one or two, we'll put the idea back it for people to suggest a couple as well. So we'll have some listener choices. And remember, folks, like we're bringing horror back for you, and you guys have asked for it. There's a lot of people who have been saying, oh, I used to really like when you were talking about horror. The emphasis is now on you. We're going to give you what you want and share it. Let people know about it. If you have fun, let your friend recommend it to your friends. Leave us reviews on iTunes. Leave us voicemails. That's like, we used to get loads of voicemails and they were fun.
We love hearing from you guys. Call drunk. Just call drunk. We don't care. You can drunk line it. We love hearing from you.
The show is more fun when you guys interact more with us, as the Facebook group page is evidence of.
Oh, it was amazing tonight. Thank you, everyone that showed up tonight to do that. This makes it amazing. And we need you guys here, especially for Duncan Defense, because we've got to have a lot of jury members. Got to have a lot. And for the game that we're starting up, you know, we'd like for all of you to be a part of it so we can have a
big
party.
There might be a prize.
Yeah, absolutely. We should actually give something away finally. We'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll give something away. We'll find something. We're going to give something away. We'll do that. So, yeah, we're going to have some Duncan Defends. We'll have some horror news. We'll have some horror talk and banter and craziness in the first hour. And then Dark returning in the second hour to continue this from here on out. What do you got for October?
So for the month of October, some of the topics that we're going to be talking about are objects, like around your home, or not around your home necessarily, but around...
Please put something horror in front of that, because you're killing everyone right now, because all you said is objects around your house.
Haunted or cursed objects. I was going to say objects that are haunted
or
cursed.
Well, you were struggling on it.
No, I wasn't. You were struggling with it. Then we're going to talk about jails and prisons.
Nice.
Haunted hotels.
Ooh.
Okay. And haunted asylums. If you haven't noticed, we're kind of using some of the American Horror Story topics, we're going to talk about, you know, some of the real circumstances where real horrific things happen in these places, and it seems like they're still kind of like echoing through history, through paranormal experiences that go on at these places. So we're going to talk about some of that and some good old Halloween goodness.
Yes.
All right here at the Midnight Horror Show.
So, check us out. We're on Twitter. It's at TMHS Radio. Listen to the show live if you're hearing this on the replays. It's TMHSRadio.com or the TuneIn app, TMHS Radio. Join the Facebook group, which we've opened up for now just to give people so you can get on in here if you can't see the invites when we're sharing them out and stuff. But when we start getting the watch and the Rolex sales, we'll cut it back out. So we've opened it up for now. So,
and guess what else we've
Go
done.
To iTunes. Give us a review, please. My God, that would be wonderful of you. Wonderful of you. You bitchin' wonderful listeners. Please go do that. That would
and
be
guess
awesome.
What else we've done for you?
What have we done?
We've taken down all of the episodes that were on the feed.
We took all the bullshit down.
That might embarrass you.
Where Dr. Dark might say the N-word. So we've taken it all down. It's Tristan Risk and the last two that we've done and
so
from
you,
here on out.
If
so
you recommend the show, clear. You can recommend the show without fear that someone will go back and listen
except
to an old episode.
Except for this first hour. This one might not be good. But
no,
the second hour is
fine. It's
fine. All right, but next week it's full horror. We're all back. Completely horror, ladies and gentlemen. It will be the Midnight Horror Show, and when we talk to you next, it will be October. And don't forget, download the episode too. Even if you didn't get all of it, download it. And then just delete it. I don't care. It gives us a number. That's fine with me. That's great.
Give me the number.
Give me the number.
I just want the numbers, boys. Give me the numbers.
Give me the numbers.
If you don't give us the numbers, someone's getting fired.
Oh, yeah. You know how he gets. You know how he gets sometimes. All right, everybody. Thanks again so much for the people that showed up. You made it awesome tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking 2 hours of your time to come join us. And we will be back next week with the horror.
I love you.
Oh, God.
That's the horror right
That's
there.
That's the horror right there.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.